Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wrestle me,
Wrestle me, Pete!
Oh, we are vaccinated. We're not vaccinated. Don't know why I said it. I saw a sticker, Euston Station, today, on the floor saying, I've been vaccinated.
Oh.
And you only get them if you've been vaccinated.
Maybe they had a bad reaction. Maybe they were face down. One in a million, Pete. One in a million.
Oh, well, yes.
My mummy and my daddy have had their little jabs.
Little jabs.
Yeah, they got their jabs. Pfizer.
Yeah, I had to argue the toss with my mum and dad, who were, I'm not going to Stockton. I'm not going to Stockton for that. I'm going, you live in Hartlepool. Stockton's like 20 minutes away.
I'm not going to get like the most amazing scientific breakthrough of our lifetimes because it's 20 minutes away.
You don't drive. You would have to get a taxi into town anyway. It's an extra 10 minutes to literally save your life.
I've found out a lot of my friends have conditions that they've been keeping secret.
Oh, mate.
I tell you.
Everyone we know.
Yeah.
Have got the jab before us.
Yeah.
And as a lifelong asthmatic who takes steroids in the morning and the evening,
yeah.
I am fuming.
I have been really... I find myself having to fight back the thing of continually saying to people on Facebook or on Twitter, how did you get it?
You were anemic when you were a child. Isn't every child anemic?
You're 50.
I'm from the north. We don't... There's flu right in the water. There's no reason why... That's why I keep forgetting words.
Yeah. I know someone who's 50 and he's got it and he's got no underlying health conditions. And he was like, oh, I've got... You know, I've just heard I'm getting it, you know, and that sort of thing. And his wife was going, you know, she's the same age. She's not getting it.
Yeah.
And I was like, why is he fucking getting it?
Well, do you remember that? Did you see that guy? It's my favourite story. The guy who got called up and he was like, I've not got any issues or any like lifelong problems. And it was because the doctor's surgery thought he was 6 inches tall, which made him clinically obese because he was 16 stone and six inches tall. It's like read that back to yourself.
Like you wouldn't remember that guy coming in.
Flobbing in.
Like
a big pancake.
A massive sort of soft biscuit. Like what an amazing thing. Are you sure he's 6 inches? Do you remember him? Do I remember him? Right, then he isn't 6 inches
He's got a very unique body that you would have to, he'd have all kinds of problems that normal bodies wouldn't have.
I'm looking forward to having mine.
Yeah.
But I will not have it if I have to have it after teachers. I want
your
it first.
As a teacher.
I know. She's actually been given one because she works with early years. So she got hers last week.
Early years.
Which is, yeah.
Why is it early years? Because they just will not stick to the programme.
I forget why it is, okay. To be honest. I mean, the reality is she's been doing this for a year with all the kids and she contracted COVID at school. So she's been COVID positive.
Right.
Because it's frontline. It's I was watching the film 1917 and that was a slight hint about how awfully the powers that be treat the working classes and people beneath them.
Uh-huh.
And I did sort of think that about, like, if you're a teacher, you are on the front line and there are just people going, yes, no, it's absolutely fine. You don't have to worry about it. All of them, the people that my wife worked with, 10 got it in one day.
It's amazing.
10 in one day.
How is that not a big
story? They managed to get through
to
the end of the year and 3 days before they broke up, 10 of them got it.
It's a miracle they didn't, they weren't, you know.
They all came back. They all came back to their families, you know.
Yeah.
All of their families then isolated with them, usually contracted it off there.
Shut it down.
It doesn't happen.
Shut it down.
It's
the children are going to lose a year. yeah, grandma's not going to be here.
And it, Pete, I wasted 2 weeks tracking down which kid did it so that I could have Shane Ritchie make a Dead Man's Shoes film about me tracking them down. That is the only COVID thing I want to see. Is me stalking around Watford looking for a kid who gave my wife COVID.
Who gave my wife this?
Amazing. Do you know that my favourite thing is, and I know it's an awful crime and it's so cowardly and awful,
right,
but the men who knock on people's doors and go, all right, pet, I got, you know, a load of COVID vaccine.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
So it's £165. And then they come in and they inject them with ink.
With a compass. As one guy just had a compass.
Yeah.
It's just, and the thought of it they show, he's wearing like a tracksuit. Now, I'm sorry, that person should not be allowed to open their front door if they think a man who's just going to turn up in a tracksuit.
No.
I don't care how old you are.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Even if I was 99, I'd probably have the nous to go, you know what, mate? I don't reckon you're a trained NHS professional.
Do you know the funniest thing about this? I was thinking, they were talking and they said one victim who's 65 and they showed an old lady. And she was like, you know, he came in here, he got a biscuit. I'm doing loads of really, I did a terrible northeastern accent there. So when I started it, and I was super aware as I started it, I was God, this is appalling. But they had a woman and they were like, she's 65. And she was, and I was like, 65? I'm not very old, 20 years older than I am. And I worked it back and it meant that she would have like been 20 in the 70s. And it's like, you're not, you know, yeah, there was crime in the 70s. This isn't, you're not like when I was growing up and the women were like Victorian women and they were fooled easily. I was like, you know, I just, you were still working until the 90s, you know. You know, get with it. Very odd. Those bits are all the bits that I'm terrified we won't be telling in the big COVID stories. When you read the history
the
of COVID.
Tricksters.
Yeah, right, a book okay, that no yeah. one wants to remember. Will we remember the laughs? No, is what I'm sorry.
We'll remember the Captain Tom memorabilia.
Oh, absolutely. Will we remember his trip to Barbados, which I think was ill-advised?
Everyone seemed to ignore it.
I tell you.
Sorry, you are putting your family at risk, the people of Barbados at risk.
All I'm going to say is, as an elderly man,
myself,
as an elderly man, Captain Tom, you know, he may have made that decision, but it should have been a decision made by other people. I believe the rest of his family are also invited.
Yes.
So they got to go to a Barbados.
Yeah.
So, is that a conflict of interest?
There's a lot of books being written, a lot of gin promoted on Captain Tom's Twitter page, and I can't.
Really?
He made his own gin, and I just sort of think it's a bit football does, like footballer from poor family does good.
Oh, you cannot say anything bad about Captain Tom.
I cannot say anything bad about Captain Tom.
Yeah.
His family.
Yeah.
I question their,
I would say
their business.
Everything within a millimetre of Captain Tom's body. Once you go out within a millimetre, you are in some pretty brackish waters.
Is this any way to start a podcast?
Look,
I'm glad most of our listeners are on Patreon. They're complicit. They're complicit in this.
You
paid for this. You're funding this. You're an exec producer. You're making this film.
Oh.
You dirt boxes.
Good. Right. Look. Shut up, everybody. Come on. Settle down.
Captain
We've
Tom,
got a show to
Tom.
Get through. Royal Rumble 2018. We are in the midst of the men's Royal Rumble. We just talked about Elias and his confusing catchphrase and how impossible it would be to get into wrestling if you hadn't been watching it for at least 30 years. So we then have the next guy coming in, who is the NXT champion, Andrade Cien Almas. He gets a really good reception from the crowd. It's nice. Places like Philadelphia, wrestling cities, they are up on NXT.
Right.
And the previous night, they've been having these takeovers. And, you know, the quality of those is through the roof. Wrestling fans love to go to the big four pay-per-views. Your Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and WrestleMania. And the crowds there are so much better than the ones you get at the other sort of, you know, the WWE in town, let's go and get tickets.
Yeah.
Although I'm always perplexed as to whether people actually do that. I think in America again, and I say a lot about America that turns out to be just things
no
I've
texting.
Thought. Yeah, that they don't have mobile texting.
But one of the things
that seems to be is I can't quite understand whether people just go, oh, there's the WWE Arena, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
You know, let's go and check it out. Mm. I don't know if that happens. I went to see Jerry Seinfeld at the O2, and there were two people sitting behind me. Those tickets were insanely expensive.
Right.
And I only went because a friend had been working with the O2 and got me two free tickets. Mm. If I'd have paid for it, I'd have, you know, he was like a matchstick that they were playing a Jerry Seinfeld CD through the tannoys of. I mean, you know, it was just time.
Tell you he's doing it. Yeah.
It's the worst way to see comedy.
Yeah.
It really is. In an arena, it just, you know, it's weird.
And that's why WrestleMe will never play the O2. Or the Indigo.
I think,
too big.
I think, yeah, or the podcast festival again. that was an entirely different matters. no, that is a joke, by the way. I should stress that.
We would like to do that.
It,
fun.
Yeah,
it
has always been really good fun.
Yeah.
I got to meet Eddie Dennis last year and Ginny, who are both in NXT UK, and they were both very, very nice. So there, Pete. what on earth was I talking about?
Andrade Cien Almas and people going to shows just
that's
for shits
it.
And giggles.
So yeah, the two people behind me at Seinfeld. If I forget where I'm going in my anecdote, you might guess this anecdote is not going to be dynamite. but there were two people behind me, and they were like, they had just come because they'd seen it was a hot ticket.
Yeah.
And they didn't know...
People do that,
they didn't know what Jerry Seinfeld was.
Right.
They had never seen live comedy before. And they'd just gone, we will pay... I think it was like 120 quid.
Oh, crazy amount.
You know.
Money.
They'd gone to see that. Someone they'd never heard of in an art form they had no interest in.
Doing...
To just go, well, this is what people do.
Reheated material from the 90s.
Yeah. There was... I must have talked about this in WrestleMe before because the opening act came out and he did a long routine about pork and beans. I'm sure I've mentioned this before because he did a whole load of material that he didn't realise did not translate to an audience across the Atlantic.
Right, because we don't really do
pork and beans. Why is it when you get a little can of pork and beans, there's a whole lot of beans and a little bit of pork.
You're at the O2, man.
He was looking around like... This is a tough crowd. It's not a tough crowd. They've never heard of pork and beans. I have, for obvious reasons.
We have for obvious reasons, yeah.
He also did a big thing where he did a whole set about, he's going, you got a thing, shop here. What's it called? IKEA? IKEA? Right? And people laughed. I was amazed.
Right, it was surprised, yeah.
But a bit later on, he was like, so I'm driving down Van Nuys Boulevard, got past the big IKEA, the Trader Joe's. I was like, he knew what the IKEA was. He knew.
He lied to us.
He did it for comic effect, everybody. that is my job. I am, yep. No, fair enough, it is. But I don't think people just turn up. But the smaller shows, they aren't passionate fans.
Mm.
So there must be a lot of people who are just like, well, I hear that thing's in town. Mm. I'll go along. Oh, I didn't like that.
We did the Football Ramble Tour last year. I remember sort of being in Northampton and we came out, did a paedophile joke and a very old elderly couple just left. I was like, you clearly don't, you just, it was just on in Northampton and I thought, oh,
yeah,
Steve likes football, let's go down. And they obviously were never going to enjoy it because they didn't know any. They didn't know us.
That's it's so weird. It is so. I think it must be a generational thing, you know.
What? Just going for going for a show.
Well, we'll go out. We'll go and see a show.
I guess we are.
Football Ramble is appalling. It's really bad.
Joke about Adam Johnson within 5 seconds. I think maybe. Because the internet generation, we can access the things we like very easily.
I would never go and see something I don't know. I already really like.
Isn't that mad? Like, there's no one will take a fucking. And I guess that sort of means that you don't need to necessarily play the hits. Like you probably won't have stand-ups who that kind of generation of stand-ups who just have a shared bank of jokes.
Yeah.
And just the rest would be crowd work because, you know, I guess that's why kind of like those comedy nights where you have three or four acts on, you don't really know what you're going to get. People doing preview stuff, people, you know, improv groups and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't think the culture is there anymore. You always, if you're going to pay over £15 for a ticket, you know exactly what you're getting.
It's slightly as well. What it talks about is a cultural scene which cannot thrive. Because if people won't go and see stuff that they've already seen, what you end up with, of course, is Alan Carr on BBC Two on every show.
Yeah.
You know, and David Walliams being that thing. I've been to lots and lots of meetings about scripts and things.
Mm.
And people have said to me very, very early on, who would you see in this role? and I've gone, oh, I think someone like, do you know what? I'd like someone slightly out of the box and that sort of thing. And what they want to get to is the point where they can say to me, do you know David Walliams? And will he do it?
Yeah.
And that's what it always comes down to. And I do sort of, I mean, maybe when the pandemic's over, Pete, maybe I will just go, do you know what? I'm going to go to a gig of something I don't even know what it is. Just because the freedom.
I would stand in a walkabout and just drink a big jug of Heineken by myself.
You won't be by yourself. It will be rammed. Man, oh man. So we get back to the Royal Rumble.
Aye.
Bray Wyatt comes out next. Andrade Cien Almas as well, incredible talent, really shows himself up, you know, off in this match, just some really good, you know, just moves incredibly well, incredible kicks and things. He has had a stop-start career, and it has not been because he hasn't been on the top of his game. It's because he's Mexican, and that means obviously his, you know, ability to be pushed as a main eventer by a very, very essentially racist Republican company is limited at best.
Yeah.
It really is an accident of birth. If he was not Mexican, he would be a huge, huge main eventer with the talent that he has. It is horrible when I look at this and I kind of go, he is doing so well. And I just sort of go, this is a racist company. Mm. And you know it's a racist company. I mean, they are, I believe the McMahons are the biggest donators to Trump's re-election campaign.
Right.
You know, the biggest private donators, certainly. And it's just, you suddenly realize, oh, it's not just the thing where you go, you know, they are a bit right wing.
Mm.
They are really tied up in that world.
Quacks like a duck.
If it quacks like a duck. And if it's Mexican, it isn't going to be the focal point of your shows. Yeah. I'm not saying he was going to be a definite, you know, main eventer, but he certainly, his push has never been at the level that it should have been.
Mm.
And you do begin to kind of go, well, why is that?
Yeah.
I suppose you would say it doesn't necessarily come down to racism, because there are an awful lot of people who are very talented who also haven't been pushed. You know, it goes all the way back to Shelton Benjamin, African-American. You can go through Cesaro, European. You know, it does.
And Baldy, it's Baldies.
It just shows that you're not masculine.
Yeah.
If you can't, hold onto your hair,
mop it up hair
by using the power of will, it means you are a weak, lily-livered pansy. Out comes Bray Wyatt. An American man, so was allowed to be a champion. They talk about, he's in the midst of a strange, weird, philosophical rivalry with Matt Hardy. I don't want to see a psychological rivalry between two wrestlers, because I don't think the wrestlers will be able to pull that off.
No.
And I don't think the writers will be able to pull it off either.
No.
So I think it's a highway to nowhere, really. I'd prefer them to be wrestling over, like, who's stolen the other one's snake?
Pants.
Yeah. Or but, like, broken a rocking chair. something like that. You
but
know?
It's kind of like, you sort of go, right, how many WWE films have managed to get anywhere to do anything?
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero. I mean, was Fighting With Our Family a WWE film?
We'll probably get into that later. They were involved in that.
Right.
Yeah.
So you sort of think that's probably closest to, what is the most popular kind of mainstream or thoughtful WWE film?
Well, the thoughtful one, blimey. There is, I believe there's one where John Cena. do you know what? I can't even think what it is. I had a vague feeling there's one about a boy with learning difficulties who becomes a wrestler.
Oh, right. And John Cena's like a,
I think he's
helping
in it.
Him out.
I don't think financially overperformed.
Oh, well, okay.
Is
it psychological love?
We are going to have to at some point sit down and watch the WWE films.
Oh, Mark, I'd love that.
We're going to have to.
Or would I? Because I suggested this in the first lockdown with the Football Ramble, where we just went through all the shit football films.
Yeah.
And,
I think it'll be funny enough because...
That's on my Amazon Prime record now. I've bought those.
What they are is very different.
Right.
And so you've got things like The Marine, which was two with John Cena, one, I believe, with The Miz, and one with Ted DiBiase Jr.
Right.
Four of those. I have actually tried to watch The Marine, and it is so bad. But it's not difficult bad, you know?
Yeah, okay.
And it's funny watching John Cena.
Yeah.
You've got things like See No Evil with Kane. So that's a different genre. That's good. We're not
horror.
All the same
is that
thing.
Horror?
Right. Yep. And then you've got some things like The Chaperone, which was Triple H's starring vehicle.
Erotica.
Where he plays I think he plays a security guard for a school bus. I mean, there's some with a Big Show in.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be brill. Absolutely brill. I should imagine, you know, they've pitched some with Bray Wyatt
Spooky Boy. You know, yeah, and it'd be like a Saw kind of film.
It's Saw meets, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme's Bloodsport meets a huge waste of everybody's time.
Look.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This week at Sukarnov.
On the Luke and Pete Show, Luke introduced me to some bizarre animal warfare.
In the 70s, there was a... I can't remember going to say this, but I promise you it's true. There was a war, an actual war, between rival chimpanzee clans that went on for over 4 years.
Meanwhile, on abroad in Japan, Chris is facing off against a natural disaster.
So the same day that I'd run out of fuel, right, I was like, well, I made it in one piece. Thank you, God.
And then, like, 5 hours later, the worst earthquake I've ever experienced. It was a 15-storey building shaking from side to side. It went on so long, I was like, this hotel's coming down, and I don't want to be in it when it does.
Listen to Abroad in Japan and the Luke and Pete Show, available on your favourite podcast player.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
At least in this entrance, it's a truncated entrance.
Yes.
We don't get all the fraff. We
no,
don't get all the nonsense.
Not yeah. at all. Big E comes out. Very
yes.
lovely, lovely, charismatic Big E.
Big-legged Big E.
He's a unit, isn't he?
He's lovely.
He's super.
And then he pours some pancakes out of his
does.
Pants and nicks someone eat him.
Pancakes, exactly another thing, like We Walk With Elias.
Yeah.
And the other first
yeah.
one.
Why are the New Day just constantly pulling...
Why have they got pancakes? Where do the pancakes come from? What is the pancakes thing? Oh, sorry, did you miss SmackDown's fifth, that 10-minute section of a 2-hour SmackDown that went
piece.
Out on one Thursday yeah. in September? Yes, I did. Oh, not a true head. Ty Dillinger comes out, and Ty Dillinger is at number 10, and he has the gimmick, of course, where he goes, 10, 10, 10. Now, he debuted last year at the Royal Rumble as a surprise. He'd previously been in NXT. And I mean, what a difference a year makes, hey? You this time don't even get allowed to come to the ring. So he's attacked backstage by Owens and Sami Zayn. And Sami Zayn decides to go out in his place.
Yeah.
The writing on the wall for your career is very much it, where you have a thing where an entire audience is chanting your catchphrase
yeah.
and they won't let you
come
go
out.
Through the curtains to make it happen. They put someone else in it. I mean, I do sometimes sort of think there are two people in this Royal Rumble who I think would look back and they would just go, that makes me sick to watch it. And I think
yeah.
Ty Dillinger must be one of them. That you go, if ever I thought that this was going well.
Yeah.
That moment where they said to him, you don't even go out. Well, they'll all be chanting 10, but you're going to be back here. That must have been the moment where you just went, this isn't going
Imagine
the way it
asking
should.
Asking someone, a cocked up wrestler in the 90s to do that. They'd be like, fuck off.
They'd
have Vince McMahon by the fucking neck.
Do you know what? Would that
have, and would that have helped?
Would that have actually improved wrestling
yeah.
today?
Oh,
the chances are yes. If Vince McMahon had been physically threatened by more drug addicts who he had in his employ, the chances are things would be better than
yeah,
they are now.
True.
Out comes Sheamus, who's wearing, he's got a big mohawk at the minute. A slight feeling around for a gimmick that he didn't quite have.
Yeah,
I think
okay.
where he was like, I'll be the guy with the big mohawk. And everyone was just like, I sort of, you're already the pale guy. And
yeah,
this
the
is
pale guy. And then,
gimmick
and
on gimmick on gimmick. It doesn't work.
So I'm going to wear the little, and later on I'll put some camouflage kilt on. And
yeah, he wore sunglasses as well, which is always the key thing of going, I don't know what I am, but I've got sunglasses, which
work
shows
it out, chunky.
I'm obviously doing well. You've got to work out what you got. Exactly that. At the moment, he's doing a sort of Peaky Blinders thing as well. I mean,
oh, is he? Wow,
too many.
Oh no!
The more you try to find the right thing, but we see you working out, the less we're going to go with something because there's been too much working.
There's
out.
Been too much working
too
out.
Much
is
working
are there many
out.
Peaky Blinders? Because Peaky Blinder has a lovely part. There's a lovely part of the internet, and it's Instagram billionaire fanboying, and it's just men who are obsessed with billionaires. And how they get up at 5 o'clock in the morning before everybody else
yeah.
is. And they work harder than everyone else. Like Elon Musk, whose father owned an emerald mine.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And so they have these kind of Jeff Bezos-y kind of characters they're obsessed with. But they're also, I've got this lovely one I'm looking at the moment. And they've also got this obsession with the Peaky Blinders.
Really?
Because they look, they've got nice suits on.
Yeah.
And they've got cool haircuts.
It's all that sort of slight sort of aqua scutum tweed, isn't yeah. it? You know, that sort of thing. And plus fours. In a way that previously, if people had worn that, someone would have gone, fucking Knickerbocker cunt. And now you're just like, oh, that looks a bit like in Peaky Blinders, you know. Yeah, he's definitely, I think it's good. I like the whole Peaky Blinders thing,
right,
for Sheamus. That seems to work for me.
Yeah.
It comes very, very close on the heels of him having a lot of downtime during lockdown where he's clearly just been going through Netflix. And the fact that he hasn't seen Peaky Blinders until earlier in 2020. And then has gone, I'll do that as a gimmick. I sort of go, you've come to the party too late.
It was either that or Breaking Bad. I never got around to it. I was on the road.
I am Tony Soprano. I would like to see him doing an Italian mafia gimmick.
I would very much like to.
An Irish mafia. An Irish-Italian mafia
yeah.
thing. That would be good.
Forget about it.
I'm going to give you some pasta for Jewel. Yeah, that's pasta for Jewel is a thing which I've always heard in Italian sort of like dramas and things.
Right.
Where quite often you'd have Tony Soprano just going, pasta for Jewel. And they'd say, hey, come and get your pasta for Jewel. And I was like, I hear it a lot. It must be the go-to pasta, pasta for Jewel. I think I looked it up and I think it just means like pasta.
It's like, it's like pin number.
Yeah, exactly like that. Very annoying. Or ATM machine. We go on from, what's his name, Seamus. He gets knocked straight out of this by Heath Slater.
He's got other things on. Slater's got a t-shirt saying, I got kids. Now, I've not watched the wrestling to know what it just sounds like. I've got your kids, or he's doing Files for Justice.
His good thing was he used to get beaten all the time, and so there was a sense of,
I got kids.
Yeah, I got kids. They made a big thing about the fact that he was a young man and had about four kids, but he didn't live in a house. He did live in a double wide trailer. And so there's a sense of him being this sort of southern guy who is just coming to work, you know, being pumped. I mean, I imagine being paid probably like $250,000 a year, but they did this lovely gimmick of him just going, I got kids, you know, his big thing about why am I here? Because I've got kids, you know, help a brother out. He comes back in and he gets to eliminate Sheamus and he eliminates Sheamus very, very quickly. They say he's the quickest ever. Officially Santino Marella edges it.
Oh, really?
1.9 seconds.
Worked it frame by frame.
Yes. I mean, it would be awful if Sheamus had got the smallest, because that Santino Marella thing, you want the comedy character to have the worst one.
Yeah.
For years, it was one of the Bushwhackers, Bushwhacker Luke, who came into the ring, was immediately clotheslined over, and without sort of breaking stride, continued doing his Bushwhacker walk.
Oh, nice.
Having done it on the way in.
Back down.
They knock him out and he just carries straight on out doing it. It's a magic sort of seamless performance. What?
I want to watch that one. Why am I watching that one?
I believe the Royal Rumble 1991. It's a classic. And for years, that was like the shortest ever appearance. The Sheamus one is good because it's done by Heath Slater. Mm. And he's given you the comedy, then he gives you the pop. And then very, very quickly, I think he gets pushed out as well. And it's just well thought out. You know, it's good. Sheamus is a big enough guy that it doesn't affect him and it gets you that big response. You then start getting to the point where they're just filling up the ring. Mm. So we get Xavier Woods comes out, you get Apollo Crews, you get Shinsuke Nakamura. And Shinsuke Nakamura comes out. That entrance music is so massively over. Yeah.
They're singing it for ages after he's already
long ring. After it's ended. Yeah. They do carry on. What I like about Nakamura is he's such a good pro that he doesn't acknowledge it in any way.
Yeah.
The fans are beneath him. And so he just carries on like knocking everyone. They're chanting his name and he's just looking really, really serious, you know, and going for it.
I like Nakamura's two kind of modes where it's just like business and they're just dicking about. He's dancing, he's doing herky jerky, he's like going like, whoa.
He's a sort of like cross between Michael Jackson, Prince and Silly String. And he just goes everywhere. Or he's like a proper salaryman who is just sort of like, you know, casually sort of like keeping his head down. The annoying thing about this, of course, is he comes out at number 14, which is in part of that anonymous shuffle. So the music distracts everyone, and that's almost the thing that he's given. Yeah. But you know that, you know, obviously at 14, and it's Nakamura, he's not going to win the Royal Rumble. They do let him eliminate Sami Zayn.
Right.
And so that's exciting. And it's like they're kind of going, we know that he's good and you like him. We're not going to humiliate him. But he's come out at 14. So, you know he's not going to win. This is really well booked. He is in the anonymous shuffle. And that is so pleasing because normally by the time someone comes out, you go, oh, they've decided he's going to win it.
Right.
It's either about placing or the way that they approach the ring. But to come in when it's just full in the midway point, I don't think anyone has ever, certainly no one's won it at 14 before.
Right.
But people win it from number one. They win it from the late 20s. They win it, you know.
But 14 is anonymous.
14's no one's ever. I don't think anyone's won it, and I'm sure this will be wrong. But I'm just going to state it like it isn't. I'm sure no one has won from the numbers 6 through to, I would say, 22. Right. It's just never happened. Yeah. And so, you know, you've been conditioned to just go, you know, pay no attention to this lot.
Yeah.
Don't worry, they'll have gone soon. Out comes Woken Matt Hardy. I'm jumping straight forward. You get Cesaro, you get Kofi Kingston, you get Jinder Mahal, And you get Seth Rollins. They do their little bit with Kofi Kingston where he gets to walk on his hands to not be eliminated.
Yeah, so they made it very clear that you have to have 2 feet down. And I was like, oh, right, okay. And then he's constantly doing the hands thing.
Yeah.
He's done a chair. He's done leaping from the side of the crowd.
Yeah.
He's done...
The leaps have been the best.
The leaps are more exciting, aren't they? They've been caught by some fans, I think.
Mm.
This time around, it's pancakes.
And the first time they did it, I mean, it was spectacular. But then they sort of went, this is a great runner. Let's have a runner year after year after year.
Oh, I like it. Where I agree. He does it every time. I think it's a good idea.
They have struggled to find new ways to do
in
it.
In that way, though, that shows the lack of, a genuine lack of creativity. Oh, we left. Why don't they just leave a skateboard there?
There have been some very, very good ones. What I really liked about this as well is that it comes up later with Almas as well, which is a really kind of clever bit where when he finally gets back in, CN Almas chucks him out.
Yes.
But he, instead of chucking him out, he's about to throw him out, but he sees the New Day are on that side. So he runs him all the way to the other side of the ring and chucks him out there. And just little touches like that where you go, oh, that's, you know, he's not like a moron and he didn't do it and they didn't go, oh, we didn't catch him that time.
Yeah.
He went, right, I know what happens if I throw him out there. Perfect. Just absolutely perfect. Then we get Woken Matt Hardy coming out, doing his Woken gimmick, a takeoff of the very popular gimmick he did in TNA, the Broken Matt Hardy.
Right.
I liked this gimmick. It was strange. It was just him with very white teeth, continually speaking in a strange voice and shouting delete. The thing I hate most, mind games in wrestling.
Yeah.
Mind games don't mean mind games. They mean... we can't think of anything for them to do, so they're just going to stare at each other and go, ah, ha, 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 ha. What you do get here, which is amazing, is he does a face-off with Bray Wyatt, and the crowd go fucking nuts for it. They are really excited in seeing that. So many times when they do face-offs in the Rumble, the crowd are just like, I don't care.
Mm.
You know. And this one, this Rumble has loads of face-offs that people are really excited about.
Yeah.
And one, which would seem like a can't-miss face-off, which is between Cena and Roman Reigns. They boo the shit out of. And what's really good about that is I was thinking, if you'd have put this together, you'd have gone, I've done all these face-offs building up to it, but that big face-off between Cena and Roman Reigns, that is going to cap it. And then you're like, well, I'd really booked it perfectly up to this point, but then the crowd totally turned on that one bit. That's amazing. John Cena comes out. Everyone piles into him and the crowd just cheer and cheer and cheer. It's a great Royal Rumble. Honestly, there isn't... some Royal Rumbles, you have that thing where you go and there's a space of 8 people and nothing happens or whatever.
Mm.
And this is just like star after star after star after star who come out and they have a set piece that they do. It's a really... it flies, this Royal Rumble. It's such a good thing. Straight after Cena, you get the Hurricane. Out comes Hurricane Helms. They have a face-off of Cena versus the Hurricane. They boo the shit out of Cena when he throws Hurricane over the top rope. And then Hurricane just begins posing his way.
Slipping on pancakes. And then just, you know, he seems, looking at his like private life, he seems to like getting pissed with Jericho quite a lot.
Yeah.
He's friends with Jericho.
What's funny about Hurricane is when you do see him on Twitter, he's like Kevin Nash. He seems to be one of the liberal guys.
Right.
And he's quite often calling people out for bad behavior. Nice. Like that. He just seems like a dude. I like the way they portrayed him in a way that he didn't when he was around. When he was around, he was just like, I'm a superhero. I'm the Hurricane. And he had an alter ego, Gregory Helms. In this, they're sort of like, it's like everyone's half remembered it and just gone, remember your character. It's mental. It's absolutely deranged. You know, it just, you know, you don't just think you're a superhero, but like every move you do, you're going, like that. I like that thing of he's gone absolutely mad over the years. Aiden English comes out, and Aiden English has kicked off this Royal Rumble by singing Rusev Day with Rusev. And out he comes. He might be the only person who gets zero reception as he comes out in this whole Royal Rumble.
Yeah, it's the least amount of pop I've heard.
Oh,
and he looks like a Victorian sort of like a diagram in a medical journal.
He was originally in a tag team called the Vaudevillians.
Oh, really?
Where they did do a Victorian wrestler sort of thing. You know? It was really well done.
Well, because he's just very so pale,
so
like,
pale,
so like unbelievably pale
and long.
And long, rangy,
doesn't
very
have
rangy.
A traditional wrestler's
no.
Sort it's of a bit, body
bit Rick,
shape.
Bit Rick Rudy in WCW, where he's kind of like a very, he's got a big reach, but he's a big triangle.
He's come out in this, no reaction, but he's been out before. And when he did Rusev Day, everyone went mental.
Mm.
And you must look at it and just go, am I not popular? Do they just like the words Rusev Day? And I was saying there about the two people who must be looking at this Royal Rumble and going, I think you would watch this. He can't have been expecting to come out to no reaction.
Mm.
And I think if he watched this back, I can't imagine you wouldn't do anything but just go, I feel a bit sort of ill. My stomach just flipping a bit.
I mean, the only like shouts he did get was, who are you?
I know. And you know who I am. I was out singing Rusev Day. Everyone liked it. You know, but that thing of just going, I think the other thing about a reaction like that is you go, they've cheered for everyone and they're a hot crowd.
Mm.
And if I'm in front of a hot crowd and when I come out, the boss is watching this.
Yeah.
This is essentially a P45 in audible form, you know.
But that's the boss's fault. If the crowd don't know who they are, or don't like them, or don't fucking hate them, or don't mistrust them for being a vessel of Vince McMahon, like, it's Vince McMahon's fault.
Yeah.
The buck stops with him.
Yeah, it's true. The other person that happens to in this is Titus O'Neil, who comes out. And again, you know, a guy with so much upside, a big, sort of well-built, fast, collegiate athlete.
Mm.
And they've done nothing with him ever. They've just, you know, I'm not saying he's going to be the greatest wrestler in the history of the world, but you go back to 1992, that's a long time ago, but you go back a quarter of a century and there was a reaction for everyone who came out. And it's just amazing that you can do this and you get two people who come out with no reaction at all.
In
heartbreaking.
The age of the internet where everyone knows everything.
Yep. Yep. And the worst thing for Aiden English, of course, is the next person who comes out is Adam Cole, who isn't even on WWE television.
Yeah.
He's in NXT and they go bananas for him. They also all shout his catchphrase. They know that even though it's never been on WWF television or WWE television. He's still selling his takeover match from the night before that he had. He's got his arms sort of all bandaged up.
Mm.
Old school. I like that. I like people going, remember that thing last night? It mattered, and it matters today, even though this is big. Corey Graves at one point starts muttering about the fans on the internet and stuff like that. And mate, that's all fucking fans, you stupid idiot. You know, it's a weird thing where WWE have got that sense of you're supposed to moan about smart fans and, you know, you moan about the internet wrestling community and stuff like that. Well, I mean, what other fucking show would you watch? Can you imagine Love Island just going, I tell you who's really unimportant.
Yeah,
as far as our audience go, people with access to the internet, you know, everybody's on the internet now. That whole muttering about, you know, you might as well say, you know what's annoying? Women being able to read, watching WWE. They'll be able to read all the signs. Ugh, stupid namaste shit. What it boils down to, and I saw this, a Big Show was talking about working WWE. It was an old interview, and he was talking about how much he hated doing television tapings. He liked doing all the live shows.
Mm.
He said, but we get to TV and he said, you know, you just get these, you know, scripts and you'd be looking at them just going, what are we doing? Why are we wasting our time doing this? You know, why do we have to do all this? You know, and one of the comments that he made, he was like, you know, you've got a couple of people backstage who have laced the boots up before. He said, but, you know, all the writers, they've never laced a pair of boots up and yet they're telling you what to do.
Yeah.
I do think wrestlers should have far more control over what they do in wrestling. But it's also a television product and you can't sort of forget that. But I do hate that thing of people going, you've never laced up a pair of boots. What would you know about wrestling? I'll tell you this, fuck it. I reckon I have watched more wrestling
than a wrestler has.
Than a wrestler has. I certainly think wrestlers, once they get in the business, why are they going to be sitting watching wrestling? I would say on average, I watch 2 or 3 hours a day and have done since I was 13, right? I think, you know, Kenneth Tynan didn't act at the fucking National Theatre, but no one goes, think about Kenneth Tynan, shit theatre critic. He's absolutely shit. He knew nothing. He'd never memorised lines and put on blackface and gone out there and pretended his wife was having an affair, you know.
But they sort of, football had a kind of real sea change when, you know, Mourinho was obviously a really good example, but, you know, managers who'd never played the game.
Yeah.
And certainly, it seems to be the best managers are frequently the ones that weren't very good at it.
Yeah. I mean, look, Vince McMahon has laced up a pair of boots. But nobody said up until 1997, the problem with Vince McMahon's WWF is Vince McMahon has never laced up the boots. You know, it's just a nonsense thing. What it is it's an attempt as well by a nervous and prickly art form to gatekeep and to keep people out from commenting. You can't say anything. Yes, I can.
Mm.
I know I'm not on NXT. That is an oversight by the company. Some of the fucking rum people they've got there. I tell you, I might as well be. Out comes Randy Orton, does a good RKO on a jumping Andrade. But this is, I can't work out whether this is still part of Randy Orton's boring years or whether he's just, he's getting better or more sporadic. Who knows? And then you get Titus O'Neil coming out, and of course he's not wanted. The important thing is let's draw a line under it, because coming up next in the Royal Rumble is someone I'm always pleased to talk about, and that is The Miz.
He's back, baby.
He's never gone away.
26.
Absolutely. There is a part of me that, even though I know how this Royal Rumble ends, there's a part of me that thinks they're probably going to give it to Miz still.
Don't spoil it. We never talk about the results. Unbelievable. Right, we'll be back next week with more of this. But if you want to find out what happens right now, we got a Patreon, patreon.com/wrestleme. You got that. You got an extra Patreon show about something we don't know what it
it's
is yet.
It's going to be, I believe, Survivor Series 1987.
Yes, please.
The first ever Survivor Series.
Yes, please. I'm not really sure what makes a Survivor Series, Mark. Could
you're
you tell
about
me?
To find out.
Okay.
In fairness, there are it is about surviving. Okay, no, it really is. I know that sounds like the sort of like mock thing that I'm doing. Yeah. Otherwise they die. No, they do have to survive.
Well, if Vince had actually laced up a boot at some point, probably wouldn't have called it Survivor Series.
Don't forget, if you're lacing up boots, you also need trunks. Otherwise everyone will see your bum and bolt.
That's me, Mark.
That's me, Pete.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking out?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.